Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is daf Ayin. We are on Samech Tes Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday on Samech Tes, we saw a Mishnah which told us about this idea of Mirsa. Said if a non-Jew is under fear of surveillance, so then there is no problem. There's no concern that the non-Jew touched the wine, handle the wine, and render the wine Yai Nesach. The Mishnah yesterday went through three different examples of this idea, where we assume that he's under surveillance. The first case in the Mishnah is that he handed over to the non-Jew some barrels of wine. So right, in fact, they were schlepping it together. So the barrels were sealed, the barrels were not open. So as long as it was becheskas hamishtam, as long as it was under surveillance under the whole time, so then it would be mutter. If he, however, told them, I'm going to be going away for some time, I'm entrusting you with these barrels, so then we have to be concerned that the non-Jew tampered with the barrels. The second case in the Mishnah was, carrying them, schlepping them, they used some sort of wagon or they were on a boat. And the Mishnah makes the same exact point. If there was a constant concern that there was surveillance done by the Jew to the non-Jew, what we would call in halacha, yotze v'nechnas, so then that would be fine. But if he told them, look, I'm going to be gone for some time, I'm leaving you alone with these barrels, so then it's no good. And finally, the last case of the Mishnah was, you tell the non-Jew, look, I'm going to be leaving the store for a moment, but you never know when I'm going to come back. So under those circumstances, the Mishnah says, once again, the same idea. You're a Yotze v'nechnas. He does not know when you're coming back in again. There's always there's that constant concern that he may be observed. So therefore, you don't have to worry about the barrels of wine. What the Gemara, there was a fourth case in the Gemara as well, where you were sitting down at the table together, drinking together with him, and there were bottles of wine on the table, or there were bottles of, there was open wine in the cabinets as well. And so that was the fourth case in the Mishnah. But from the first three cases, the idea is very simple, is that if there was a constant concern of surveillance, so then there's no issue. Yesterday, the Gemara dealt with its Rechusa, why the need for all three of those cases. If there is no concern of surveillance, how much time does he have to be alone with the wine in order for the wine to become Aser? So that also was a Machlokus in the Mishnah yesterday, between the Tanakam and Rishon HaGamliel. Rishon HaGamliel takes a more lenient position. And that is the amount of time, not just to bore a hole and then to plug in the hole, but the amount of time to take off the entire lid and to reseal the entire lid. That was the opinion of Rishon HaGamliel. And the last thing we learned in yesterday's daf is the halacha falls like a Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. With that stated, we continue right where we left off yesterday. V'chimei achar, it is about 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Samech Tes Amud Beis. V'chimei achar, the kamelan kavasit, the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So as we've just established, the halacha in fact goes like Rishon ben Gamliel. D'lo chayish l'situma, where we're not worried that he's going to bore a hole in the top of the barrel. In other words, but in order for him to tamper with the barrel, he's going to have to literally take off the entire lid and reseal the entire lid. And on top of that, we go back many dapim ago, over 40 dapim ago in the Masechta, thereabouts, daf Lamed, where the Gemara there had a discussion about Ziyuf, about forgery. In other words, by taking a seal, removing the item, resealing the item, and putting an exact a forgery of what the seal once was. So Rabbi Eliezer says this is not a concern of ours. This takes us back to Daf Lamed Aleph. He's not chayish for ziyuf. So and according to Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, one chosam, one seal would be sufficient in order to make sure to safeguard that the wine was not tampered with. So the Gemara says, so we paskin number one like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that we're not worried he's going to bore a hole in, but rather he's going to have to take off the whole lid. Number two, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that once there's a seal on it, so we're not worried that he's going to open it up and reseal it and try to put a facsimile seal on the barrel. Okay, so now that we're here, Hayina my taima lo masina chama biyarav dekochavim. So the Gemara says, so now give the guy the barrel and let the guy know that you'll be gone for a long time. And let him know that you're not going to be back for a week, a month. Who cares? When all said and done, he's not going to punch a hole through the top. He's not going to lift off the lid, because that's going to require him to reseal it and put on a facsimile seal on where the seal went. So what are we worried about? So the Gemara says, Mishum Shaycha. So the Gemara gives a very short answer, And that is because of the Shaycha. What is the Shaycha? Rashi, Nekev Dak Maod. So with every barrel of wine, so there is a small hole. Shuba Megufas Chavis Leos Re'ach Hayayin Yotze. So basically, for the airing of the wine. In other words, there's a fermentation process of the wine. A lot of gases are building up within the barrel of wine. And so therefore, what they had to do with every barrel of wine is, by design, is that a small little hole on the top of the barrel. And Rashi goes on to say, V'yesh lachu shema yikadach sham b'mitzas v'yitom min hayayin. And so what now we're concerned with is that now that we know that every barrel has got a little hole on the top, so what he's going to do is, Rashi doesn't use the word straw, but basically, yikdach sham, he's going to maybe bore a little bit into it, or maybe what we could describe as a straw, maybe. And v'yitom min hayayin, he's going to drink from the wine. So that's the Gemara says, that's the concern, and so it bears shmira. It still has to be guarded in order to make sure that he doesn't do that to the wine. Okay. From this point going forward, really for the remainder of today's daf, for the entirety of today's daf, so what we're going to hear is incident after incident, meaning the ideas we have down very well, that in order for the wine to be safeguarded, there has to be a shomer, and it doesn't have to be constant shmira. It has to be at least a concern of surveillance. There has to be at least this sense that I could be seen at any point in time, and only under those circumstances, when the non-Jew and the wine are left alone with one another, the wine is still going to be permitted. That's the basic idea. That's very clear. Here's what we're going to get for the rest of today's daf. We're just going to get various examples of various incidents that happen. Amoraim who ruled on the issue. You'll see most of the time the Amoraim were very makel on this issue. Okay. You'll get that sense after incident upon incident. Some of the stories, by the way, are just not going to put us in the best light, right? We are, in the course of today's daf, we're going to be consorting with prostitutes. We're going to be in the business of thievery. It's just, you know, the Gemara is, you know, in other words, and we shouldn't be consorting with prostitutes and we shouldn't be thieves. Can I be more obvious today? I mean, but the Gemara also, you know, the Gemara doesn't sugarcoat. The Gemara, you know, depicts real incidents and real episodes. Okay. Amar Rava, Zona Ovedes Kocham V'Yisrael Mesubin Etzla. So the Gemara now has the following episode, where you had a prostitute. She was a non-Jewish prostitute, and you had Jewish men with her. Chamashari. So now they're obviously involved in illicit behavior with her, meaning Arias. But at the same time, however, what about the wine? Meaning there's also going to be wine over there. Should we be concerned that they allowed the prostitute to touch the wine? And then you'll say to yourself, they obviously don't care about halacha, they don't regard halacha, and that's an oversimplification. That's not true. Meaning that they have a yetzahara and they have a temptation, and they certainly have a temptation for znus. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be lax in avodah zara. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. So zona avodas kocham v'yisrael mesubin etzla chamashari. So the wine's going to be mutter. Nihita takif leyitzra daveira. Yeah, they have a yetzahara for znus. That part's true. No, it's coming up. That's coming up. That's your. There are going to be two cases being discussed. The first, it's fine. First case is where the prostitute right now in case number one is not Jewish. Unfortunately, the other case is going to be explored as well. So okay. So the takif lo yitzra davera yitzra the yainesach lo takif lahu. So but the Gemara says, but as far as the yitzra of yainesach, meaning that's avodah zara. So that it's not going to be so strong. So the Gemara says that it's an oddity, but it's a complexity of life. It's just, you know, it's a way we're hardwired. Meaning for yetzer hara for znus, the Gemara says yeah, that they have and that they succumb to. But a yetzer hara for yai nesach, no, the Gemara says no, they didn't succumb to that. Now the Gemara deals with the other case. Zoni Yisrael is rov dikochavim misubim chamer alser. So here, if let's say the zona, the prostitute was a Jew, a Jewish woman, and the ovdei kochavim were mesubim, and she was consorting now with non-Jewish men. So the chamra is aser. So they're the ones going to be aser. So my time, ahov is zila alayu basrayu grida. So the Gemara says because over here, in other words, she was servicing them. So obviously they had a certain level of dominance. So despite the fact that she for sure would not want the wine to be handled by them, but at the same time, She was just in a compromised position, so we therefore have to assume that the wine was handled by the men as well, by the non-Jewish men. Okay. Next, another incident. The Gemara describes where there was a house where there was a non-Jew who went into the house. The house belonged to a Jew. Or I should say, in the very least, the wine belonged to the Jew. It seems like the house as well. But the wine belonged to the Jew, and a non-Jew goes in there, and then he goes in there and he locks the door. Okay, so now, he puts himself alone in the wine in a locked house. So far, if we stopped at this point in time, the conclusion should be that the wine is aser. However, there was a hole in the doorway, and now what you can do is you can look through the hole in the wall, hole in the door, and you can actually see not the entire scene of the house, but you could see a limited scene, a limited scope of the house. Amar Rava. So on this, Rava comes up with the following ruling. Called the Lahade Bizashari, the Hagisa Vahagisa Asr. So whatever is opposite the hole is going to be mutter, meaning because that area is under surveillance, and so therefore the non-Jew is not going to open up the barrel and drink from the wine, handle the wine, because he knows he's under surveillance, at least towards that portion of the door. But wherever you can't see within the house, so there the guy's going to be comfortable, and he's going to open the barrel, he's going to handle the wine, so there under those circumstances it's going to be asr. Another episode. Ha'u chamer di Yisrael davi yasa bebeise, davi dar Yisrael be yonavo v'kocham v'tachtona. So there was a duplex. The guy was living on the first floor, the Jew was living on the second floor, and the Shamu Kal Tigra. And what happens is a fight takes place outside. So it's really exciting, and everybody wants to see what's going on. We love being a spectator, especially if it's a fight. We're interested. So Kadam Asa Avakochavim Achel Adashabape. So now everyone left the premises to go see what's going on outside. And then what happens is the Nanju goes back into the house. Maybe he went in first. It's not perfectly clear. But what for sure he did was he locked the door. So now he was alone in the house with a locked door, and the wine of the Jew was inside the house. Did the Nanju under those circumstances handle the wine? Yes or no? Amar Rava Chamer Share. So Rava says no, the wine is mutter. Why? Meimer Amar ki hechad kadam asay ana kadam va'asay Yisrael v'yasay bel yonav v'kachazile. Rava says, look, the non-Jew, as far as he's concerned, he's not exactly sure what happened. Meaning, he knows that everyone left the house, but he went back into the house. It could very well be the Jew went back into the house as well. He doesn't know. Could be that the Jew went back into the house before he did. And even though he locked the door, but it could be that the Jew was together with him in the house as well. So in other words, again, it comes back to the same idea. We're going to be repeating this idea a lot today. As long as there was a threat of surveillance, as long as there is a possibility, a real possibility, that he was being observed at the time, even if it's just in his own mind, that will be enough to ensure that he's not going to handle the wine, and therefore the wine is going to be mutter. Another incident. Ha'ush biza dav yaseh bechamer di Yisrael, ishake chove kocham di yaseh beidani. So there was an innkeeper, there was Jewish wine inside the house, and it was discovered that a non-Jew was by the barrels of the wine. Amar Rava im natfas alav kiganav shari ve'ilo aser. So again, Rava's ruling was as follows. If, let's say, he were caught hanging out amongst the barrels of wine, nitfas alav kiganav, and when caught over there, he's basically trespassing. And he's going to be charged on the crime of trespassing and accused of being a thief. So the Gemara says, Rava says under those circumstances, so the wine is going to be mutter, meaning because he's not comfortable being there, he's not going to allow himself to handle the wine. If on the other hand, Elo, if let's say he had a reason for being there, in other words, if caught being there, he basically says, no, I should, by design I should be here. I have a right to be here. Let's say, for example, he was a worker. He was an electrician. And somebody called in for some electrical work. So if he had a right to be there and he wasn't trespassing, so then the wine is going to be out, sir. Another episode. There was a house where there was wine. And once again, a non-Jew was discovered just kind of situated between the barrels of wine. Amarava Yisrael Lishtamute Chamra Aser V'ilo Chamra Shari. So over here, Rava offers a very similar ruling to what he said previously. Yisrael Lishtamute, if he has an excuse, meaning if he can explain what he's doing there with a legitimate explanation, so then it's going to be, then the wine is going to be Aser. Because again, he feels comfortable being there, and him being comfortable being there will give him a allowance to handle the wine. However, Elo, but if he has no excuse why he's there, and if he's caught over there, he would be charged up on trespassing. So then the wine is going to be permitted because his nervousness is going to prevent him from handling the wine. Take a look at Rashi over here. Yisrael Lishamuti, if he has an excuse. If he has an excuse for what? Rashi writes very clearly, V'lomer lakach nichnasti. In other words, he has an excuse for just simply entering. Meaning, he doesn't even need an excuse for opening the barrels. Meaning, as long as an excuse for just simply being in the premises by itself, Rashi says that's enough to ask for the wine. Rashi continues, I'm reading on in the Rashi. Samcha daitev lo mirsas. Because now he has a certain level of confidence, he's not going to be afraid. Dechi al lahach besa meikara adaite delinesuche al. Because over here he went into the house, we're going to have to assume he went into the house for the purposes of handling the wine, doing a libation with the wine, a nisuch. V'savar im v'shkachu li shamute. And if I'm caught, look, I have a good reason to be here. V'af agav de b'magayam leis li shamute aser. And Rashi couldn't say it any clearer. Rashi says, even if he had no excuse for handling the wine, that doesn't matter. As long as he has simply an excuse for being there, that's enough. D'ilav nesuche al amalei da'ayol. Because Rashi says, because why else did he go into the house? Meaning he went into the house for the purpose of Nisuch. Now Rashi points out that yesterday in the Mishnah we talked about having the non-Jew in your store. Rashi says it's not the same. Because in the case where I have a worker in my store, he's under my jurisdiction. Meaning he understands, you're in my store with my permission. Meaning I'm allowing you to be in my store. In other words, I need the help, I want you to work in my store. But I don't want you to handle my wine. In the case of the store where you have a worker in your store and you're telling him, look, I'm going to go out, but I can come back at any moment. So even though he has permission to be in your store, he's not going to handle the wine. Masha'in came over here, we're not talking about a worker, a non-Jewish worker. We're talking about a guy who, without your permission now, went onto your premises. So if he can justify why he's there, we have to assume that he handled the wine. If he can't justify why he's there, so then the wine is going to be mutter. So says Rashi. Continuing in the Gemara. Meitzvei. The Gemara challenges this based on the following brisa. Nina al-Pundak. If, let's say, the inn was locked, meaning that the non-Jew went back into the inn and he locked the door and he finds himself now alone with the wine while locked in the door. Oh, sha'amar lo shmur. Or let's say the Jew was about to leave the inn for a little bit, and he says to the non-Jew, do me a favor. I'm going to be out for a little bit. I want you to guard the front. Aser. Under those circumstances, the wine is going to be aser. Why is the wine going to be aser? My love, avagav deleis leishtamute. So the Gemara says, now, if caught inside the house with the barrels of wine, does he not have a good excuse? Is he not justified for being there? Lo. B'deis leishtamute. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about where he had an excuse. And only under those circumstances, the wine is going to be aser. Otherwise, the wine is going to be muter. Okay, next. Hahu Yisrael v'avikocham davi yasvei v'kashasu chamre. So there was a Jew and non-Jew who were sitting together and they were drinking wine. Now I'm going to say they drank the wine together, but in other words, they didn't drink from the same wine. In other words, the Jew drank from his wine, the non-Jew drank from his wine. Recommended? Yes, no. In other words, the whole point is not to be drinking together. But in other words, from a technical standpoint, it's fine, your wine is fine. In other words, you're just drinking your wine with, alongside a non-Jew. So, there was a Yisrova v'kacham dehaviyas v'kashasu chame shama Yisrael kal tzluye be'kinishta. And what happens is that they're not so far away from a shul, and the shul has got some sort of alert that minyan is starting, or, the ashrei, they hear a bunch of people start saying ashrei. So the Jew now knows, oh, it's time to daven mincha. So kam va'azom. So he goes and he davens mincha. So Amar Rava. So once again, Rava now has to issue a ruling, because basically what now has happened is that the non-Jew finds himself alone with his own wine and the wine of the Jew. And so, under these circumstances, so his seclusion with the wine, does that make the wine usher, yes or no? And again, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf, Rav is going to be, generally speaking, mako with so many of these cases. So over here, Rav's ruling was, he's going to be lenient. Chamer Shari. The wine is going to be mutter. Why? Because Meimar Amar Hashem Mitkalei Lechamrei V'Hadar Aseh. Because from the perception of the non-Jew, the Jew can come back at any point in time. Meaning, the Gemara doesn't say this, but you know, I'll create a little bit of a narrative. First of all, you don't know how long mincha is going to be. You know, some minchas are long, some minchas are very quick. And on top of that, and now we're just going to be a little bit more true to the wording of the Gemara, then the Jew can come back at any point in time to reclaim his wine. Meaning, you know, Chazar Sashas, the right thing to do is to stand in shul, listen to Chazar Sashas, answer Amen. But it could be that the Jew remembered all of a sudden, oh wow, I forgot my wine over there. So from the perspective of the non-Jew, the Jew can come back in at any point in time. And so therefore the wine is considered to be under a state of Shmira.
The difference with this case is that it's not sealed.
Right. Agreed. In other words, this right. Of the cases back in the Mishnah, this is similar to that third case of the Mishnah. Right. Agreed. I'm sorry, not the third case, the fourth case. Fourth case of the Mishnah. Yeah. Hahu Yisrael v'vikocham davi yasrei ba'arba. There was a Jew and a non-Jew who were sitting on a boat. Shami saw kalshipura de beishimsha. So they were on a boat, and all of a sudden the shofar is being blown. Right, ever go to Eretz Yisrael? So you know that before Shabbos they sound a siren. It's an old minog. You used to, you know, not the siren, but in other words, to make some sort of proclamation that Shabbos is coming. And so the horn was blown. And so nafik v'azel. So now the Jew who was on the boat together with the non-Jew, and again they were drinking wine together. And again, just to be clear, each one was drinking their own wine. Again, still inappropriate, but still, they were each drinking their own wine. And then when the shofar blast came out, so the Jew said, "Oh no, Shabbos." So he leaves the boat. The boat. Let's assume the boat was docked. I mean, that kind of makes the story work out a little bit better. So the boat was docked, but the boat is a reshus yachid. And for him now, in order to go home, he had to leave the boat, Rishus Yachid, walk through the street, Rishus Rabin, to go home. Now, what just happened now is that he left his wine there on the boat together with the non-Jew, and for at least 25 hours, meaning over the duration of Shabbos. And as far as the non-Jew is concerned, he knows that the Jew is not going to come back. Because for the Jew to come back and to take his wine would require a violation of Shabbos. Because in order to take the wine from the boat into the street, that's what's called the Malach of Hotzah, to go from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Rabim. So once again, Rava now was asked the question, is the wine mutter or asr? And again, like I said in the beginning, Rava is going to be makel in so many of these cases. Amar Rava Chamashari. So Rava says that the wine is mutter, and for a really interesting reason. Meimar Amar Hashem Mitgar Lelechamre V'Hadar Aseh. Because from the perspective of the non-Jew, the Jew can come back at any point in time in order to get back his wine or fetch his wine. Now, in order for him to do so, that would be a violation of Shabbos. V'im ishim shabasa ha'amar. Now, in the right, skip the next two words. Ha'amar li iser giure. Now, as far as Shabbos is concerned, do you know what the Isser the Ger told me? Isser was his name. He says, Kavina bar miyusan, he says, I'll tell you what, when I was the non-Jew, Arminan Yehudai lo mintere Shabbasa. We had this misperception that Jews weren't that Shomer Shabbos. That's what we thought. And I'll tell you why we thought that. Because the imintere Shabbasa kama kisei kamishache b'shuka. Because, you know, think about it. Friday afternoon, sun's about to set, so many Jews are walking through the street, pockets filled with money, and with purses, and with wallets, and what do they have to do? They drop their wallet what are they supposed to do? Supposed to leave the wallet right there and then, meaning carrying the wallet would be an Issa Daraisa. Handling the money is an Issa of Mukta. So it means that they're going to have to drop the wallets in the street and go home. And when I used to be a guy, explains this, sir, we used to always wonder, you know, on Friday night there should be wallets strewn along the street. Right? All these quote-unquote from Jews should be dropping their wallet in the street because of Shmir Shabbos. And meanwhile, there are no wallets over there in the street. So our perception of the Jews is that they're not that Shomer Shabbos. So Rava now uses this perception, it's a misperception, but uses it now to come up with his heter. Meaning that even though the Jew left his wine on the boat, and even though it would require, if he were to go get his wine and take it off the boat, require him to violate the Shabbos, so from the perspective of the non-Jew, yeah, the Jew would do it. Meaning they're not that from. That's their perception. And built on that perception, even though it's an erroneous perception, but that's how they felt. So Rava was makel regarding the wine that was left on the boat. Now, lo yadana. Now, this is still Isser now, the Ger talking, and is explaining, here's what we didn't know. Here's why we had this misperception. Let's say you find yourself with a wallet in your hand on Shabbos. So we're just talking about the Isser of Hotzah right now. We're not talking about the Isser of Muktzah. What one is allowed to do is that one is allowed to carry it walking with increments of less than 4 amos, because we're talking, remember, we're talking about a Rishus HaRabim. The Isser in the Rishus HaRabim is to walk 4 amos in a Rishus HaRabim. So what is allowed is to walk 3 amos, stop, walk another 3 amos, stop, and in doing so, you're not violating an Isser Shabbos in doing so. Why was this heter given? Why was this dispensation given? Very simple. Because if the if no such dispensation was given, so then what a Jew would do is a Jew would, he's Bala Mamono, it's his money. And he worked hard for that money. And then what he's going to end up doing is he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. So the rabbis understood that, and the rabbis gave an allowance, a dispensation, that he could walk at increments of less than 4 amos in order to get the money back home. Okay. The once you get to the house, however, it presents its own separate problem, because you can walk in a Rishus HaRabim, you can walk in increments of less than 3 amos. But to walk one step from the street into the house, that's a violation of Shabbos. Okay, so once you get home, there's still a challenge. But until that point in time, you can make it back to your house. Maybe you'll put it under the, you know, under the mat in the front of the house. But in any event, next story. How are you davening Navim b'ma'atzrasa? So there was a lion, and the lion was roaring. And it was right by a wine press. Shama ove kochavim tasha beini dani. And the non-Jew heard it, and he starts running in fear from the lion. And he finds a great hiding spot amongst the barrels. Amarava. So Rava says, you can already guess, by the way, how he's going to rule. He has yet to be machmer in this entire daf. And I've been keeping score. This is the 7th story that we had. And this is the 7th ruling that's been issued by Rava. Okay, so this is the 7th time he's going to say it's mutter. So Amarava Chamashari says the wine's going to be mutter. So, and his argument is that, look, I'm hiding over here in the barrel. I have probably is a Jew over hiding right behind me. Meaning, everyone's afraid of a lion. So everyone's running for cover. So even though, yes, here I am, quote unquote, alone with the barrels of wine, but probably right behind me is a Jew who's also hiding in the barrels. And so therefore, again, he's under this impression that he's under surveillance. So there were these thieves who went to Pumbedisa and they opened up a lot of barrels. Amar Rava Chamar Shari. And now for 8th time on today's daf, Rava says the barrels are mutter. Why? My time Aruba Ganavi Yisrael Ninhu. So he says that most of the thieves here in Pumbedisa are Jews. Okay. And like I said in the beginning of the daf today, okay, the Gemara is just not sugarcoating. Meaning, consorting with prostitutes, many people in Pumbedisa take on the profession of being a thief. Okay, it's obviously not preferred behavior by Jews. I'm being gentle when I say that, but again, the Gemara is just giving a real depiction of what life was like back then. So there was an episode in a Harda like this as well. Meaning, thieves were going around town and they were opening up barrels of wine. And Shmuel was lenient. Now Shmuel was lenient. Now we're no longer in Pumbedisa. Meaning in Pumbedisa, so Pumbedisa was a rough town, and many Jews in Pumbedisa were thieves. So, but that again allowed Rava to be makel in Pumbedisa and say that the wine is mutter because most probably was being handled by Jewish thieves, not by non-Jewish thieves. But now we're no longer in Pumbedisa. We're now in Narada, Shmuel's town. Shmuel's town of Narada, so the Jews are a lot firmer. Or, you don't have to say it like that, you could just simply say, they weren't thieves. So, okay, is it right. Oh, anyway, it's, that's not just a chumrah. So what is Shmuel basing his ruling on? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Come on, Rabbi Eliezer. So over here, you're going to have to use the other halachic principles to be makel in such a case. And the Amr Safik Bia Tahor. And the halachic principle that we're going to use is what's called Safik Bia. Safik Bia is the following. Did not. Hanechnas lebeka b'yamosek shamim v'turma b'sada. Plonis. So you go into a valley during the Yamosek Shamim during the rainy months. And the and there is Tuma, and we're assuming right now when we say Tuma, we mean Tuma's mace. And there is Tuma in one of the valleys. So V'tuma b'sada plonis. V'amar halachti b'makom alaz v'ani yodea im nechnasti lo'so sada. So here's what I know, here's what I don't know. I know I went into the general vicinity. I don't know if I went into that particular field. Im lo nechnasni. So Rabbi Lazar Amar Safik Bia Tahor, Safik Maga Tame Lo. Safik Bia Tahor, Safik Maga Tame. Okay. So, and the principle basically goes like this. If I don't even know that I went into the right field, when I say the right field, I mean the field that had Tumas Mace. So in other words, I know I was in the general vicinity, but I don't even know if I was in the correct field, the field that had the Tumma. So that's what's in halacha referred to as Safik Bia. Under those circumstances, Tahor. If, however, I know I was in the right field, I just simply don't know if I actually came into contact. Contact over here could just simply mean communication with the mace. So under those circumstances, it's going to be Tumma. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over there? That if it's just a question of whether or not you went in, that's what's called Safik Bia, and therefore it's going to be, we could be Makel. If it's Safik Maga, so then we're going to be Machmir. So the Gemara says, Lo, Shani Hasim, Kevendika, De Paschal, Ishim, Amona, Havle, Sfek, Sfeka. So the Gemara goes on to explain, you're right. Meaning, in the town of Narada, you had non-Jewish thieves, and they were running through the town, and they opened up their barrels of wine. So even if you want to say that you're basing yourselves on this concept of Safik Bia, this is not Safik Bia. Meaning you know that the non-Jewish thief opened up the barrel of wine. Why can you be Mako? So the Gemara goes on to explain, because this is really a Sfeik Sfeika, this is a double doubt. Take a look at the last Rashi in the Yom, the bottom Rashi, and he writes, when they're opening up the barrels, they're opening up the barrels to see if there's money in the barrels. Rashi goes on to explain. So, over here says Rashi, look, they're thieves. They're not interested in wine, they're interested in money. They see a barrel, they don't know what the contents of the barrel are, they're opening up the barrel. Now, yes, it's true there's wine in the barrel, and yes, it's true that they can easily right now put their hand in the barrel, agitate the wine, and create Yai Nesech. But Rashi goes on to explain, but this is now going to be a case of Sfeik Sfeika. I'm reading on in the Rashi. First of all, we don't know who went in. Was it a Jew or was it a non-Jew? Now again, in Pumbedisa, most of the thieves were Jews. So we have a rov. Over here in Narda, we're not sure. Okay. And Rashi then goes on to say, and even if you want to say that the thief in question over here is a non-Jew, Safik Naga, Safik Lo Naga. Well, we don't know if he touched, we don't know if he didn't touch. Uvaha afila Rabban Amode. Even the rabbis would agree. The Chiplig of Rabban Allah de Rav Elazar Echad de Maya Sade Tuma Di Al La Lo Asher De Lo Ahil De Lake Elachad Safik. The only time where we're going to be Machmir is where the field is filled with Tuma, meaning we're going back to the case of the field and Tuma. If the field is filled with Tuma, and you went into the field, if in fact you got to the field, it would be impossible not to come into contact with the Tuma. Okay. Top of Ein Amud Beis, more episodes. Ha'i Revisa. There was a young woman, young non-Jewish woman. A girl, non-Jewish girl. D'ishakech lava beidane. V'amnikita ufya biyadeh. So now she was by a barrel of wine, and she had foam in her hand. In other words, as the wine was fermenting, so a foam develops on the top of the wine, and so she now has actual foam in her hand. Now, you remember we learned earlier in the Masechta that when a non-Jew touches wine, it doesn't matter the age of the non-Jew. Could be an adult, could be a minor. The wine is going to be Yain Nesach. So over here, you have now a very strong argument to make that she was next to a barrel of wine, she has foam in her hand, she touched the wine. And Amar Rava, and we have yet to discover a case in today's daf where Rav is going to be machmir. Rav is going to be Mako once again. Amar Rava Chamashare. So his ruling is that the wine is mutter. Ema magba de chavisa shakalta v'afagav de leka su ema isrumi isramila. Because he'll say as follows. It could very well be that the foam was not in the barrel itself, but maybe it was over on the side of the barrel. And Rashi goes on to explain that we're describing a young girl, v'dafka revisa de'enu yadas b'tiv nisuch v'lamatrona shalaminga. We're talking about where it was the young girl. She's not yet trained in nisuch hayayin. Rashi points out, v'gedola mechichazina de'nikita ofya lo talina l'kula. But if I saw an adult with the foam in her hand, we have to assume that she didn't just handle the foam on the very top, but she touched the wine as well, and she created Yain Nesach. So even as Rav is Mekel, Rav is only Mekel because it was a minor non-Jewish girl. Ha'upo Musa. Gemara continues, four lines from the top of the Amud. There was a non-Jewish general. The Salak L'Narada goes to the town of Narada, Pizchu Chavisa Tuva, and he opened up a number of barrels. So here the matter came in front of Rabbi Lazar and he permitted as well. So why was he Mekel? Is it go back to what we learned just a little bit earlier this morning, that Safik Bia, meaning the only thing we know is that he went in and he opened the barrel. We don't know if he actually touched the wine. And maybe we could be Mekel like Rabbi Lazar, this falls into the category of Safik Bia. Or maybe no. The general was not Jewish, that part's for sure true. But who is he being accompanied by? Right? Sometimes it's the case is that you have his advisors being Jewish advisors. Right? The Jews are taken by the non-Jews as advisors all the time. See Sefer Daniel. So it could very well be that the advisors to this general were a bunch of Jews. And so it could be that the person who opened up the barrel was a Jew. So the Gemara says now, if they opened up the barrel, how could you describe this as a Safik Bia? So the Gemara goes on to explain, because many barrels were open, and like we explained just a moment ago, when you have many barrels that are open, it leads us to the impression that they were actually looking for money. Meaning, they opened up the barrels just to see what the contents were therein. Once they saw that there was wine, they just simply said, it's now money, and they just went, they walked along. So therefore, this could fall into the category of Safik Bia, not Safik Maga. Next incident. Hahi misubisa de masola aklida mipischa lavaris kochavim. There was this innkeeper. And what she did, a wine seller, right? The misubisa. Misubisa, Rashi goes on to explain that she was a wine seller and coming from the pasuk in the Torah describing the Ben Sora Mora, right? Zolel visove, right? He was a glutton and he drank a lot. So the word misubisa comes from the word sove. So ha'o misubisa demasola iklida mipischa lavez kochavim. So she handed over her keys to the store to a non-Jew. Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Elazar uvdahava be'midrasha va'amar lo masolei el shmiras maftech bavad. And so basically, what's the understanding? The understanding is, so they took the matter to the base medrash and they explained the base medrash. The understanding is that, you know what she did? She basically asked the non-Jew to wash my keys. Meaning the shmira was not on the contents of the house, but simply on the keys themselves. Right? A number of my neighbors, thankfully I have their confidence, and they handed me the keys to their house as they go away for Pesach. Good. So now everybody knows. You want to go to my neighbor's house, come to my house, and I'm holding a lot of keys. So but they're not asking me to go into their house, they're just simply asking me to watch their keys. So Hagam over here, when the woman gave the keys over to her non-Jewish neighbor, it was just basically, it was just an entrustment of the keys. Amar Rabbi Afanami Tanina, Mosu Maftechos, La'ama Aretz, Tarosav Taharos, Lefish La Masola, Elo Shmiros Maftech Bavad. So he says, look, I'll show you a brisa. The could be this a Mishnah. If you hand over your keys to an Amah Aretz, so now the Amah Aretz is not careful about Tumah Tahara. In other words, we assume that the Amah Aretz is in a state of Tumah. We assume that anything handled by the Amah Aretz is going to be therefore Tameh. And what I do is I hand my keys over to the Amah Aretz. Anything that's locked in my house, which obviously was in a state of Tahara, remains in a state of Tahara, and I don't assume that the Amah Aretz is going to go into my house and handle my Taharas. So the Mishnah over here in Taharas says very clearly, the only reason why I'm handing my keys over is just simply so that they wash my keys, not that they go into my house. So Hashta Taharasav Taharos, Yai Nesach Mibaye. So the Gemara says, so now the Taharos are in fact Tahor, so the Yai Nesach for sure should be okay. Meaning the Gemara over here is making the following argument, a really interesting logical construct. Look, if I'm not worried about an Amaretz going into my house, and I can rest assured that anything in my house which was Tahor remains Tahor, so the same thing is true if I hand my keys over to a non-Jew. All the wine in my house for sure is not going to be handled by the non-Jew, and the only thing that I'm doing is just simply handing over my keys, but not that they can go into my house. So the logical construct of the Gemara over here is, I would be more concerned about an Amaretz going into my house when giving him the keys, than a non-Jew going into my house when giving him the keys. And if I'm not worried about the Amaretz, I'm certainly not worried about the non-Jew. That's a logical argument. And the Gemara picks up on this. You mean to tell me that I'm more concerned about an Amaretz going into my house handling the Taharas than a guy going into my house handling Yai Nesach? And the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. That's absolutely correct. The Gemara says, Chatzusha, Chilka b'mesipas. If let's say I have a courtyard that's divided by a mesipas. Now, for you to remember what a mesipas is, you got to go way back to the beginning of Baba Basra. The Gemara, the beginning of Baba Basra, talks about fences that are created between two people in a courtyard, and the smallest fence, the smallest partition, the flimsiest partition being described over there in Baba Basra in the beginning, is a mesipas. It's some really low-lying fence that separates two properties. It's easy to step over the mesipas, but it does create a border between two properties. So I have a chatzer. It was divided by a mesipas. Amarav tarosav tameos uvaovik ochavim ein osa yai nesach. So Rav's position is as follows. I have a chaver living on one side, careful about tumat tahara. I have an amaretz living on the other side, not careful about tumat tahara. And now the chaver leaves his taharas on his side of the courtyard, leaves the premises, comes back, sees the Amaretz on the other side. According to Rav, that's bad news. In other words, what the Amaretz did probably was step over the chatzer and touch his taharas. However, Rav says, if let's say on the two sides of this mesipas I have a Jew and a non-Jew, and there was wine on the side of the Jew, Rav says under those circumstances it's fine. So you see, according to Rav, very clearly, we're more concerned about an Amaretz trespassing onto the property of the chatzer, on the chatzer of the chaver, than I am about a non-Jew trespassing. Okay? So basically the Gemara is just simply supporting, yeah, you're right, we're more worried about Namart. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Meaning, right, in other words, the issue is Tumah Tahara, which, you know, is, you know, and also, to me, meaning the Amaretz is a Jew. And so, from his standpoint, meaning I'm a Jew, he's a Jew. In other words, and there's no fence separating our properties. It's just a mesipas, some sort of low-lying partition. So, you know, we're all Jews. So he'll feel comfortable going in and walking over. But the Jew and the non-Jew, on the other hand, he'll feel less comfortable. And if there's any kind of partition, he's not going to go over. Now, Rav Yochanan happens to be more mekel. Rav Yochanan amar after rasav taharas. So Rav Yochanan is going to be more mekel when it comes to the taharas. But I'll tell you the truth, meaning, and it's important to know the machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and the halacha is going to follow Rav Yochanan. The only reason why we brought this down is just simply to demonstrate that, according to Rav, we are more concerned about an Amar Aretz walking over and handling your property than we are by a goy. Fine. And that means to say that if we're not worried by an Amar Aretz, we're for sure not going to be worried by a goy. Okay. Anyway, Meisvei. As long as we brought down this machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan, the Gemara is just going to finish up saying over a halacha of the support towards either Rav or Rav Yochanan. Hapanim shel chaver v'chitzon shel am ha'aretz. So we're describing over here two chatzeres. One is interior to the other. The interior one is owned by the chaver, and the exterior one is owned by the am ha'aretz. Oso chaver shoteach sham peros u'mineach sham kelim v'af api shiyado shel am ha'aretz magas l'sham. So what the chaver can do is he could spread out his fruit over there, he could put his kelim over there, and even though the am ha'aretz can have a access to that area, it's okay. The chaver is allowed to leave out his fruit and his kelim over there, and does not have to be concerned that the am ha'aretz is going to go and trespass into his area. Kasha l'Rav, now that serves as a difficulty to Rav, because Rav taught us that we are concerned. Amal Charav Shani Hasam Shenitfas Alav Kiganav. So Rav says, look, it's different. Because over there, if the person living in the outer chatzer were to go into the inner chatzer, it's not an egress. It doesn't allow you to go anywhere else. The only reason why you're there is because you're trespassing. So under those circumstances, Rav will tell you, the person living in the outer chatzer will have no business being in the inner chatzer, and if caught over there, he's going to be charged on trespassing. But if there are two chatzer side by side, and it's very possible that the am ha'aretz can simply explain, oh, you know, I walked through your chatzer because it serves as a shortcut. Okay, and you shouldn't do it, but in other words, it's not the same. Tashma. Let's say you have two rooftops. The rooftop of the chaver is higher than the rooftop of the am ha'aretz. So the chaver can leave out his fruit and kelim on the rooftop, on his rooftop, but only provided that the am ha'aretz can't reach that area. Now, kasha le Rabbi Yochanan. Now, that's difficult for Rabbi Yochanan, because the only circumstance where it's allowed is where he can't reach. Am lech Rabbi Yochanan, to which Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, Shani Hasam, Disrech leishtemute, mea ma'amar, em psuri kamen matzre. Well, there, no. Because if the rooftops are basically contiguous to one another, it just happens to be that one rooftop is at a higher elevation, so the Amarites living on the lower rooftop could say, I just needed to know the height differential, meaning I had to get a measurement. In other words, he could somehow come up with some sort of excuse in terms of why it is that he is on the rooftop of his neighbor. Tashma, gagol shel chaver b'tzad gagol shel am ha'aretz, oso chaver shotech sham peretz u'mineach sham kelim v'af al pi she'aru shel am ha'aretz magas l'sham. Kasha l'Rav. Here in this braisa, the two rooftops are literally contiguous with one another. They're on the same level with one another. And the Brisa states very clearly that the chaver can lay his fruit and kelim out on his side of the roof, not worried, even though the am ha'aretz can easily just simply reach over and touch it. And that's difficult for Rav. Am lecha Rav, lav ika Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, dekai kavasi, anda de amri kareh Shimon Gamliel. You are right. That Brisa clearly does not agree with me. But I subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So in other words, I'll just simply tell you that Brisa is not following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. And meanwhile, I, on the other hand, am following like the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Okay, so basically, one clear agenda for today's daf, and that is the point of Shmira. Meaning,
watchfulness.
Right, watchfulness. What kind of surveillance do you need to have over your wine in order to make sure that the guy did not handle your wine? And the answer to that question, quite frankly, is that, at least according to Rava, he was, case after case, makel. He was consistently lenient throughout today's daf, in terms of a number of instances where, even if it's just a perception, and really it was a tremendous chiddush, even if it was a false perception that the non-Jew had, but as long as there was this perception that he was under surveillance, so under those circumstances, the wine's going to be mutter.